You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Tapping into the Money Flow by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Ecclesiastes 11 chapter, starting in verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and seven is the number of completion. And then it says, and also to eight. Eight is a number for overflow. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Let me read those verses to you from the New Living Translation. And it says, send your grain across the seas, and in time, everybody say in time, profits will flow back to you. But divide your investments among many places. That's a Wall Street concept. They would say diversify your portfolio. Or as mama would say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risk might lie ahead. Thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. The traditional King James Version, you don't know what risk might lie ahead, is the New Living Translation. And what it's saying here is you need to be giving and sowing and casting and investing in various places and sowing all the time, because you don't know what the future holds. But what he's saying here is that if you got seed in the ground, because of what happens in the earth, something gonna flow back to you. So the sixth verse, he kind of sums this whole concept up, and then he, because in between those verses, between 3 and 4 and 5, he said, now if you try to wait for all conditions to be favorable, he that, you know, looks at the clouds is not going to sow, and, you know, and look at the rain, you know, he said, you can't base it on the weather. You just got to do it consistently. He says, so he sums it up in verse 6, says, so in the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, don't withhold your hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper. You don't know which one is going to produce the harvest, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Now, I'm not going to apologize to you today. I'm going to do what they say I do today. I'm going to talk about money. Okay? You don't want none? Leave. And quit your job if you got a problem with money. Leave now, because I'm going to talk about money for the next hour. And quit your job and go get a teepee and make it however you're going to make it. Because we lie to ourselves. We just, and can I tell you, people who have a problem, the only people who have a problem hearing about money in the church are cheap folks and stingy folks. If you just roll your eyes at me, you one of them. Right back at you. Yeah, that's the only people. Only people have a problem. That's the only people have a problem. Last week in this service, y'all know as I went to receive the offering, I started taking authority over the spirit of cynicism. Cynicism is those who question everything, think I'm trying to work some gimmick. Trying to work some scheme. Can I tell you, I'm too far out here to be scheming. I got to depend on the word. Here's the thing about scheming. You can't scheme everybody all the time. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, if I was just passing through, I can afford to scheme. If I'm just coming in for a week, I can scheme for a week, go on, and then try to scheme somebody else. We here, we doing this together. We doing this life together. Either work or don't work. And I'm more invested in it than you are. Check to give it. Amen. So I don't have time for scheming. I teach principles from the word. And so I want to talk today about tapping into the money flow. Well, you look at somebody, if they roll that, especially if they, you know, they roll their eyes at me, look and tell you, you just need to tap into the money flow. You just, come and tell somebody, you need to tap into the money flow. There's, I had several subjects or topics I want to call this, but one of them I'm going to call it is living beyond your paycheck. How many of you know you need to live beyond your paycheck? I mean, some of y'all, you are the best budgeters, and we encourage you to do that and have a spending plan. My son showed me the other day. What's that app you showed me? Every dollar. And my son, he's gotten very diligent about his finances. He always wasn't. But the older he got, these children come along. You realize, no, I got to take this stuff serious. This rent and this mortgage and these utilities, this is some serious stuff. And he doesn't always take it seriously. I bought a new toy a couple weeks ago. A toy with four wheels that go real fast. And I took him with me. I took him with me because I want to show him how easy it is when you got a flow. They were begging me to buy the car. They begging me to let them finance it. Now, there was a time I should go sit in the booth too. B-O-O-F, the booth. Y'all know how when you go try to get a car and then you fill out the application, and sometimes I do just for procedure. And they want to know every detail. Back in the day, I fill every line. I just say, this is my name, this is social security number. Now just go check that out. And then, you know, and they go in there. They the ones praying now. I used to pray. Used to go sit in that booth. You fill it out. Then they go and say, I'm going to go talk. You say, Lord, let that have fallen off my credit report. Let that not come up, Jesus. Oh, Lord, don't let them choose that one. Choose that one. Lord, work a miracle. Let your credit score go up in the name of Jesus. Come on now. God wants you past that. Past that to the point that nobody sells you anything, but you can buy anything. I'm in a place nobody sells me anything anymore. I buy what I want. But when somebody sells you something, they convince you to buy it. Then you wonder, what in the world did I buy this? I told you about the purple suit I had back in the day, right? I had a navy blue suit on layaway. It's back when I was in college. Had a navy blue suit on layaway. But you know, when you put it on layaway, you're supposed to show up every now and then to pay on it. I let too many months go by. And I went to go get my suit. They said, oh, I'm sorry, we had to sell that suit because you made it lay it away too long. And then he said, well, I can give you this one. I said, I don't want no purple suit. But because he willing to work a deal based upon what I already laid away, got my purple suit. You see Pastor Marshall and I's engagement pictures. You see me in a purple suit. I look at me now in that purple suit. I realize I didn't buy a purple suit. They sold me a purple suit. Every time I look at that picture now, I just picture saying, how are you? Are you okay today? I love you. You love me. I look like Barney. Nobody sells me anything anymore. Buy what I want. Because when you get in the money flow, you in control. You're in control of your finance. Your finance is not in control of you. And I took him and I wanted him to see how simple that was. When you handle your money right and get credit right and those type of things. It's the will of God. And one of my assignments is to raise up millionaires in the body of Christ. Now, I told y'all I was coveting other mega pastors, their members. I was coveting Bishop Jakes having the NFL starting lineup as part of his congregation. I was coveting Bishop Blake out of West Angeles Church of God in Christ, who had the some of the top African-American actors in the world as part of his congregation. I was coveting Creflo Dollar, who had the world boxing heavyweight champion as part of his congregation. And I was looking at him, I said, God, send me some folks like that. And maybe he could have done it, but when I came here to South Carolina, they were in negotiations or shortly before that about the Panthers. The Panthers want to come here to Columbia, South Carolina. And they wouldn't build them a stadium. The Panthers were supposed to be members of the Right Direction. But they didn't build them a stadium, so they had to go to Charlotte. And so God said, I'm not going to send them in. You got to raise them up. And so one of the ways that I raise them up is to let you see how to get into the money flow by operating in biblical principles. Because God wants you to live beyond your paycheck. You need to be able to live beyond your paycheck. Your kids don't get sick based upon your paycheck. The tires don't go bald based upon your paycheck. The refrigerator don't stop working based upon your paycheck. Are y'all listening to me? Transmissions don't go out based upon your paycheck. People don't die based upon your paycheck. Family members die, especially us African Americans, but we got folks all around the country. The other people, they're people right here. That's why those other folks, somebody died today, they had the funeral Tuesday. We still raising money to get folks here. From New York. Come on. From Chicago. Well, and know what many of them waiting on? Come on, what are they waiting on? Their paycheck. So they can get here. People don't die based upon your paycheck. College tuition is not based upon your paycheck. It's based upon their budget at the college. And so God wants you to live beyond a paycheck. So you're going to have to get out of just the rat race system. And get into a supernatural flow. And based upon the supernatural flow, say this with me, it'll be there when I get there, and I'll have it when I need it. When you live a supernatural life with a supernatural flow and tap into the money flow of God's kingdom, say it with me, it'll be there when I get there, and I'll have it when I need it. Now, that's a faith lifestyle. That means I don't have to hoard it. I don't have to hoard it. Because it'll be there when I get there. And I'll have it when I need it. Now, am I saying not to save? I'm not saying not to save. But I'm telling you that while you're saved, you can still be generous. You don't have to hoard. I made up my mind for the men of God who I esteem and I'm around and who I connect with. Whatever they ask me to do, I'm going to do it. That's it. And one of the reasons why I do that is because I told one of my pastor's sons who were submitted to me, I said, sow good seeds. Sow good seeds. I said, do what you would want someone to do. Sow good seeds. See, a lot of you, for example, you want to run your own business, but you want to be a bad employee. You're a bad employee. But one day you told me you're going to have your own company and have employees. Well, you're going to have employees like you are an employee. Because you're sowing those kind of seeds. You come in late, leave early, take long lunches. And half of that time you're in the break room with coffee. You got a home computer. You've been working for that company for 10 years. You ain't never bought a ream of paper at your house. You always take the company's paper. You ain't never bought a pen. You take all the company's pens. And you think that's cool. Ooh, Jesus. I didn't know I had so many paper ream stealers and pen robbers up in this church. I hit something right there. Yeah. That goes to somebody's bottom line. Amen. So you got to learn to sow good seed. So you can reap a good harvest. So one of my assignments is to raise up millionaires. And that's going to be by starting to realize that God will bless the work of your hands. Amen. Everybody say, God will bless these hands. Right here. These hands right here can produce something that nobody else can do. These hands right here can do something nobody else can do. These hands right here can command something that nobody else can command. And so for many of you, that means there was something sparked in you that you were challenged by God through the word of God. This ain't for everybody. And please don't lose this revelation with the illustration. Don't go to work tomorrow and tell my hand, I got something these hands can produce. I'm quitting today. And you don't know what these hands can produce. And you don't know what you're going to produce with these hands. Look, your neighbor said, don't be no fool now. Don't be no fool. But for many of you, you were challenged to go ahead and start your own businesses. And many of you now are living full time and have a flow of income through a business that you started. Come on, if that's you, since you've been here, right direction under the word, stand up. Amen. And there were others in the first service. Remain standing. And then others of you, you may not be living full time for it yet and ain't paying all your bills, but it has started an additional flow in your life, and that's where you are. Stand up and join these. And so you may not be a millionaire right now, but all everybody standing up here, anybody want to join them, say, I'm on my way. Thank you. Have your seats. And I said that, and I use those, Paul says in one place, you are the proof of my apostleship. Paul said, people say, he ain't no real apostle. He ain't no real man of God. Paul said, I don't care what they say. You are the proof of my apostleship. Everybody ain't going to like me. I need the people God connected me with to like me. Everybody didn't like Jesus, but Joanna liked Jesus, the wife of Chuzza, and Mary, and those others who sold into his ministry. They liked Jesus, and he never lacked. Joseph of Arimathea liked Jesus so much that he said, don't worry about where you're going to bury him. Bury him in my sepulcher. Are y'all hearing me here? Somebody liked Jesus so much that when he needed a donkey to fulfill the scripture, all they went and told him, he said, Jesus needs it. And the man loosed it and said, well, take it to him. Oh, come on now. You don't need everybody like you. You need the right people at the right time in the right place to like you. Come on, somebody say, everybody don't have to like me. Everybody don't have to. Some of y'all trying to get everybody to like you. Everybody's not going to like you. God give you favor with the people do you need for your assignment. So one of my assignments is to raise up kingdom millionaire. Now you need to understand this. Money is currency. And currency is something that is in circulation as a means of exchange. When you look through the history of this country, at one time, furs were a means of exchange. Some of y'all be home skinning your dog right now. You ran low on money. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Solomon. You'll be all right. During a recession and a depression, what actually happens is that money stops circulating and stops flowing. Money does not evaporate. Money is never used up. Money just changes hands. Y'all understand? You understand what I'm saying? When they talk about the stock market going down, all they're saying is that people are taking the money out the stock market and putting it into their own bank accounts. It's not that all of a sudden all the money in the stock market dried up. Money does not disappear. Money does not evaporate. It just changes hands. And so what happens during recession, it stops flowing. It stops flowing through the companies. Unfortunately, they're finding out this most recent tax bill that benefits people like me in my income bracket and above, we're going to be all right. That's the truth. The rich folks, we're going to be all right. The rich, and so what they thought that all of a sudden if we reduce the corporate tax rates from 30 something down to 20%, all the money that was in all these other countries, they're gonna bring it all back here to the United States, and then they're gonna give raises and bonuses to all y'all. Has that happened? No. What these companies doing, they're banking that money. And they're giving it to the upper echelon in their companies and rewarding them for convincing Congress to give them their tax bill. And so they thought that they started doing the Reagan years. They call it trickle-down economics. That if the right people got the money up here, it's automatically going to trickle down there. Can I tell you the only way money trickle down is that the folks who got to be generous with it. Money don't automatically trickle down nowhere. Your money ain't just trickling up in here. They got to get a will involved in that. And so you need to understand that when a recession occurs or the money has stopped circulating, it's not gone. It didn't leave. It didn't evaporate. It's just not flowing anymore. But when you get into God's flow, when you need money, it's not physically created for you at that time that you need it. You tap into it and it flows to you. When we, I had to do it several times. We built three buildings here. When I built this building, I built the Family Life Center, and most recently Kids Town. There's something I have to sign with the city. Have to sign with the city that it's our building, but they own the piping. And if we don't sign it over to them, if anything goes wrong with it, we're responsible. So we have to sign up some, and then so the water really it comes down Broad River Road. And now we gotta tap into it to get it back here off the river. Have y'all seen the new signs down on the river? What is it? Broad River Road? A beautiful neighborhood. Something like that. I said, you better speak that thing. I think I took a picture. It wasn't very good because I was moving. I said, I was getting off the 20 turning here on Broad River. I said, all right. Broad River. A beautiful neighborhood. I said, you better speak that thing. And so I was going to call this creating a money flow. And the Lord said to me, no, you don't create it. You tap into it. God said, I already created the flow. You got to tap into it. Money's flowing right now. Come on now. I said, money's flowing right now. But it's the will of God for you to tap into what's flowing. When God told the children of Israel, I'm going to take you to the promised land, he said, I'm going to bring you into a land that flows with milk and honey. In other words, there is prosperity in the land. When God created Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden. And when you read, put it this way, before he created Adam and Eve, he created the garden. He created the world. And he said he created gold and onyx and all the precious stones. He said, and then he created the rivers. And he said, and the land and the goal of the land was good. And then he put Adam and Eve in the land. God put them into a land that already had a flow. Glory to God. When God told his people, he said, now, the land I'm bringing you into, he said, it's not going to be like it was in Egypt, where you had to labor by your brow, and when you had to try to make water come through, okay, by treading it with your feet and just hoping something comes. He said, the land that I'm bringing you to is a land that you ain't going to have to work for all this stuff, that there's going to be a flow in your life without you laboring. Ah, glory to God. I wish I could get somebody to understand it. The New Testament, Jesus promises, he said, I'm going to cause you to come in and inherit in a land and to reap in a land for which you did no labor. Oh, yes, in the gospel. He said, I will cause you to harvest where you didn't labor. When I came to this city, and that ain't the case no more. At this point, you know, really, truthfully, people esteem me in this city now, including the ones who used to hate on me. All you got to do is outlive your haters. All you got to do is keep succeeding. Come on now. All you got to do is have longevity that they realize, oh, God must be in this. One of them sent me a letter. I apologize for what I said about you. I apologize for how I acted towards you. He said, it is obvious the Lord called you and Marcia to be in this city and to be an example to other believers and churches. I didn't ask for that. Okay? And so, but one of the reasons why initially folks hated on me is because I was reaping where I had not sown. Woo, Jesus. Ah, glory to God. God won't cause you to reap where you have not sown.
Currency in any form is exchanged from one person to another. Money is already flowing throughout the earth. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains how to tap into that flow to get it to you. Order this timely series today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Tapping into the Money Flow.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.